Hi, this is Woman Agenda Podcast. This is Raj. We have a very special guest, Faith, who has written a memoir, a book, which is based on real life. First of all, how are you doing today, Faith? Are you all right?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you. So, first of all, tell us a bit. Is this the first book, which is a memoir, which you've written? Is it the first one?
Yes, it is.
And obviously, you've told us a bit, and you sent me information that it is based. It's obviously this is on your real life on there. So tell us a bit about what made you decide to write about this.
Well, I've been a social worker for 20 years, and I know about different disorders and mental disorders. And there was one narcissist personality disorder. And I'm sure we've all heard the word narcissist, but I don't think people really, really understand how much deeper and darker that gets. I didn't know about it until I was in a relationship for 4 years with a malignant narcissist. And at first, like, everything was wonderful. Like, the first year was great. And then maybe like a year later, he started to just shift. Like, he became a different person. He became extremely controlling. He was recording me. He put like a bunch of hidden recorders all over my house that I had obviously no idea were there. It was like a movie. He put a GPS tracker in my car so he could see where I was going at all times, where I was. He put a tracker on the garage door so he could see what time I left, what time I came back. It got to the point where I was no longer allowed to go out with friends or see my family, or just basically he had total control over me. Then he started with coercive control, which is emotional, mental, and psychological abuse. And I could not understand what was going on. He kept telling me that I was crazy and mentally ill, and I was imagining things. And so I just kept thinking, maybe it is me. And then he would just have these fits of rage. Like, if I didn't text him back immediately, or if I didn't look at him in the eyes, or just really abnormal things. And then the verbal abuse would start. I mean, I was called every name in the book. I was broken. I was entitled, just horrible, horrible things. And then I started believing these things because I'm like, this is supposed to be somebody that loves me, my person, and just the beliefs he instilled in me. So I completely lost my self-worth. I had zero self-esteem. I was just like a shell of the person that I used to be. And I kept thinking, maybe he just had a bad day at work. Maybe I can stop pissing him off. And then things just got worse and worse. And he would start to threaten me. Like, one day we had had an argument because I wasn't allowed to state my opinion. So if I ever did, there was hell to pay. So we had a disagreement about something, and he started to tell me, make sure that you watch what you drink. And I said, why? And he says, because at any moment, I'm going to put eye drops in your drink. And I was like, what? What does that even mean? So I researched it, and eye drops contain a chemical called tetrahydrochloride, something like that. And when it's ingested, because the purpose of eye drops is to is for your veins, like in the eyes. I'm missing the word that it is. But when it's ingested, it starts to just slow everything down. It lowers your heartbeat, your breathing, and then eventually you you die. Everything was in his name. Everything was in his name, the car, the phone, the house. One time he tried to physically come after me, so I locked myself in the bathroom and I tried to use my cell phone to call like 911 or anybody, and he had shut off my service. So my cell phone wasn't working. And then finally, when I knew he was in another room, I ran out to my car and I couldn't find my keys. He had hidden my keys. So things were just getting worse and I was getting more fearful, and we had a small son together, and he was always asking me, "Mama, why are you always crying? Why is Dada always mad at you?" And it was just brutal. And I finally began to realize that I needed to get out of the relationship because I did not want my son to turn into his father. And then when I finally, I realized he was a malignant narcissist, and I did all of the research. And the saddest thing is that there is no cure for narcissism. It only gets so much worse. And the saddest thing as well, the hardest takeaway, was to know that the person who I loved like never actually existed. You know, he would like wear masks and be who he thought people needed him to be. But then as soon as he got home, like the mask would come off and he would just be this horrible monster that nobody would imagine. You know, he was the nicest, funniest, most charming guy to everybody else. But he was just like the devil. And it took me a long time to realize this. I listened to a lot of podcasts, and that truly helped me get out. I was able to get out by a restraining order. One night he came to me, he told me he was going to take our son because I was unfit to be a mother and mentally ill. So I thought, that's it. So at 3 a.m, I had a friend come pick me up. I took my son out of the bed and I just ran. I mean, I've never been that scared in my life, but I knew that it had to be done. And I mean, there's a National World Narcissistic Abuse Aware Day. Like, that's how bad this truly is. And there's support groups that exist for this abuse. Because it fundamentally changes who we are. Like, having to go through that trauma and dehumanization it just changes who we are. And I think that coercive control, which is psychological, mental, verbal abuse, is way worse than physical abuse. I mean, yes, absolutely, physical abuse is horrible, but at least like the black eyes heal or the broken bones heal. And the verbal and all of that are like scars that we hold inside of us that nobody will ever see, but we will always feel them. So I had to get my story out, because my sole mission in life is to help at least one person who is struggling in a narcissistic relationship or is trying to recover from one. I want to be the voice of people who have lost theirs. I want to advocate for them. I want them to know that they are not alone. They are not crazy. It's not their fault. And they can get out. It's absolutely possible. And I share my story. I share what worked for me, what didn't. I give resources and tools to help on the healing journey, because it's extremely important for us to save ourselves, because we will never save a narcissist from himself. And especially if there are children involved, that's an enormous sense of urgency to protect the children, because we don't want our children to turn out like the narcissistic parent. So it's just a whole lot of, it's just helping people. That's my entire mission. And that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, so I mean, totally. is shocking. I mean, obviously, I've seen it. Obviously, I've heard about it, and obviously, I've seen films about it where you know the guys are doing that kind of stuff, and you can see the way they act and stuff. But obviously, not had someone who's obviously experienced in real life. So obviously it's hard to obviously imagine what you've been through, but it's really it's great that you've managed to escape him and your kid. So I mean, when did you plan that you would be able to do that and get away from him for good?
So I had been thinking for about a year. Because after I realized what it was and I realized it wasn't going to change and get worse, then I started in the back of my head trying to make a plan to see where I was going to move because it was his house. Everything was in his name.
Yeah.
But the sense of urgency came that night when he had a suitcase and he was telling me that he was going to take our son. Like that just scared the hell out of me. And I was like, nope. I'm not going to sit around and wait for that to happen because I may never see my son again. So that's when I called my friend on the phone and it all happened very fast. It happened within a few hours that I was like, oh my God, yes, tonight's the night that I have to leave. So I literally just waited till he fell asleep and I grabbed my son and I ran like hell. And then the next morning I was able to go get a restraining order. So he couldn't come near the house for 30 days. So I was able to live in the house until I found something within 30 days. I had to move out. And thank God I finally did. I found somewhere to live. It's taking a lot to heal. I'm still healing. I had severe, severe post-traumatic stress from everything. Like I couldn't leave the house. Like I became agoraphobic. I couldn't sleep. And when I did sleep, I just had horrible nightmares and would just wake up screaming and crying and sweating. And just every little noise frightened me. I would have flashbacks. It still stings now, but I'm doing a lot better. But yes, that was the night that I realized I needed to make a move and I needed to make it quick. And so that's what I did.
Yeah, I mean, you were definitely brave to do that, but obviously it was, it was obviously the right thing for yourself and obviously for your kid, to get out of that and obviously to start a new life. So did you like stay in the same city as you were, or did you like move totally?
I moved an hour away because I just needed a fresh start, fresh new scenery. Because we share a son, the court wouldn't allow me to go farther than an hour. So I went somewhere by the ocean because that was always very healing to me.
So for a person who would be doing that and obviously did that for over 4 years, the court would still give him parental rights?
Unfortunately, yes. I live in a place where the judge automatically offers 50-50 custody, which I'm completely against. And that's another thing I'm fighting, advocating for, is training lawyers and judges and to see like the real truth about narcissists and how manipulation is their go-to tactic. And they don't even really care about their children. They care about hurting their partner. And they know the quickest way to hurt their partner is through the children. So yes, if it was up to me, my son he'd have minimum contact with his dad. But unfortunately, there's not much I can do because of the system that is completely broken. So yeah. Completely. I'm on a campaign to change that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like you said, the system is broken because obviously, with all due respect to the justice system down there, but it has to be broken for them not to be able to see what's happening and with their people. And if somebody's getting that kind of a treatment, they should be, you know, that's the first thing they should be looking at. If that's happened to them, then how can you give rise to that parent for the child to, you know, who could suffer the same?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. That, and then once you moved out, did you have any fear that he'd find out where you were?
No, and we still had to meet. So no, he never came to my house to do the drop off pickup of our son. We would meet at a police station so that we would know that it was like a public, so that I would know it was a public place. And I just had minimum contact with him. I would just hand our son over. Yes, I was terrified at first of doing that, but I knew that there would be legal repercussions for me if I didn't follow the court order. And thank God my son is older now, so that he can start to tell me things if things start to happen. And if I do hear about abusive things, I will definitely take him back to court.
And if you don't mind me asking, how old is your son now?
My son is 5 now.
All right, okay. So he's able to understand everything now, you know, a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, that's fantastic, because he can tell you if there's anything, he can let you know. Obviously, if he was a bit too smaller, then obviously he wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. So when did you decide to write the memoir? Because it must have been difficult to write something which is everything is real. It's not like a story where you know. You're an author and you're writing a fictional story about something. This is your whole life. Is everything's real. Yes. So it would have taken you a lot of courage to decide to write about it. So when did you decide that, you know, this is what you're going to do?
The day I moved into my new house. So, yeah, I just thought, you know what? People need to know that this exists. Like, I cannot allow one more human being to suffer at the hands of a narcissist. So I need to get the word out. I need to share my experience so that people become aware. And I need to show them that you can get out and that you can heal and thrive afterwards. Yes, it was very terrifying to write the story, like very grueling to go back to those horrible, deep places. And I wanted to make sure that I captured everything in detail so I would really like sit there and immerse myself in these horrible memories. And they were very, very triggering. Like sometimes I would have to walk away from my laptop and just take a deep breath because it was all very re-triggering. At the same time, it was extremely empowering to be able to find my voice and be validated by knowing that I wasn't alone and a lot of people could resonate with what I wrote about. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it definitely does make sense. Like I said, I remember I watched a film a very long time ago, a Hollywood film where this woman, I think you would call it, where, you know, what you said, narcissist, and she leaves in the middle of the night, something similar to obviously what's happened to you in real life, and then she leaves, and so there was some similarity to the film I watched a long time ago, and that film did really well in Hollywood, and I think it was, if I'm not wrong, it was Julia Roberts in that film.
Sleeping with the Enemy, yeah.
Yeah, Sleeping with the Enemy, yeah.
It's funny because I mentioned that movie in my book.
Yeah, And even watching that film, it brought me loads of stuff like, oh my God, you know, they made the film and it's probably, there are probably some real people who've had this kind of stuff. That's why, you know, when a lot of films are made, they are made because these things do happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, and obviously, like you said, it's happened to you. So is this something which cannot be fixed? If somebody is that a narcissist, can that not be fixed? And is that how they are then forever?
A narcissist absolutely will never change because they have zero self-awareness. So say, for example, I was a drug addict and I would have to get to the point where I realized I had a problem. And then my next question would have to be, do I want to change my behavior and my addiction and all of that? And then I would say, do I need help? And am I willing to do the work? Like, am I willing to go to those deep, dark, messy places and pull out my hurts and try to resolve them? But all of that takes self-awareness, right? And narcissists just don't have that. They don't have the ability to see how their actions hurt other people because it's always other people's faults. They're always the victims.
Yeah.
So no, they never ever change. And that's very sad and scary.
So I guess their childhood would be basically, you know, it would be from the childhood, from since they were a child. But obviously, they may not. Obviously, the parents may not see it because they're small, and like a small kid. But obviously, when they grow up, then obviously it comes out. But yeah, definitely, and obviously, and like you said, the more women know about it and know what to do, the more the better it is, isn't it? Really, and obviously. They know that there is support available. Did you consult any groups where they could help you, you know, like emotionally?
Definitely. Yeah. Being with people who have gone through it, victims who have gone through it. And I don't think unless somebody's gone through it, they just will not understand because it's just so absolutely crazy. So, yes, I've found a lot of support in women who've gone through it, and we've found ways to heal with each other, just basically exchanging stories and being validated. Because when we're in these relationships, we have absolutely no idea what the heck is going on. No idea. So once you finally see the light and the aha moment, then the lens becomes much clearer and we're more clear in our visions of what we need to do in order to save ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And obviously, it's great to obviously, you know, get help and obviously, you know, get things out of your chest, like rather than keep everything in, which is not a good thing. And obviously, like I said, and I'm obviously, obviously, I'm glad that obviously you've come on where you can share that, and obviously, hopefully, you know, if anyone needs support, they can see this and they can understand that no women is alone. There's a support. There's support groups. There's help which is available, where you can obviously start your life again, and you can you know, like you've done. And you're doing it fantastic, and obviously for yourself and for your kid, and obviously that's absolutely great. Yeah, so you wrote your memoir. How long did it take to write this memoir, which you wrote, and has it come out?
It comes out next week. Oh. It took me 2 years to write. It's called Rising from Ashes, A Testament of Strength and Survival After Narcissistic Abuse. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So I'm very excited. It's been a long 2 years, blood, sweat, tears, crying. So I'm finally so happy it's out. I'm like relieved that it's out because I feel like I'm doing my part to help prevent this and educate and help people heal.
Yeah, definitely. And we will mention this with yourself, and obviously we'll try to get information when this book comes out next week, so we can let more people know about it. We'll put it on the web on our Women Agenda podcast website, womenagendapodcast.com, and we'll put it on the Women Agenda channel, and we'll share the link, and we'll do a little special video on it, so people are aware that the book is out. So they can, it is something which obviously should be read, and obviously I think that would definitely help. So yeah, absolutely, and we will definitely mention that on here.
Thank you.
And we'll mention it on our social media platforms as well when it comes out. But yeah, absolutely fantastic. And how is this, like a self-published book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's self-published.
Okay, and this is going to be available on is it an ebook or a paperback, or
they will both be out. It's available on Amazon, it'll be Barnes and Noble's, other bookstores, and I will have all that information by next week today. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. So guys, do make sure you do check it out, and obviously do get the book. It is going to be really great. We will mention it on the Woman Agenda podcast, like we do, the information, and this is something which we will definitely mention. So you will see it on our website, womanagendapodcast.com.
Thank you.
And the Woman Agenda channel as well. It'll be on there. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely wishing you lots of success for this book. I'm sure it's going to do really well.
Thank you.
On there, and how has do you live near any family members or anyone who helped you during this time?
My mother lives about an hour away.
Yeah, so
she's able to help me. She was very, very great in supporting me and helping me with my son. And
fantastic.
I mean, yeah, for sure, she was like my rock.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you do need at least if there's somebody who lives nearby, then I think then they can help you, then that's fantastic. That does help, definitely. Makes a big difference with this kind of what's happened. That's hard. Obviously, we're speaking about it, but obviously, like you said, it's very, very hard to obviously fully understand what you've been through. Only people who've been through the same can fully understand it. But yeah, definitely. By speaking to yourself and obviously watching the film, one can understand that it's a very, very every day must have been very, very difficult for you.
Very,
sure.
Very difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so everything's been written by yourself. So you've written the whole book yourself.
Yep, the whole thing.
All right. Okay. Fantastic. That's absolutely great that you've been fully in control of your work, so you must be. Are you busy promoting the book now, or how?
Yes. I'm in the process of the marketing, the book promos, book talk, signings. I've done a few speaking engagements and podcasts. So yes, any way I can get my message out there, because my message needs to be heard.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It is best to obviously get the message out, and more people can understand what this is. If they don't understand what it is, and obviously if they need any help, they can get help. Are you available on social media at the moment?
That again too will come next week.
I'm
terrible at technology, so I have a team helping me.
Yeah, that makes two of us. yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to get used to social media myself. With the podcast, I've been I've had to go on more on social media more than what I'm good at going on to. But obviously, you have to go on social media when you have a podcast. But yeah, absolutely. We will try to mention your social media channels next week when we do the special video, and we'll put it on the website as well. So if you want to get in touch with Faith, if you've read the book, you want to give us some feedback, we will be mentioning her social media channels next week on the Woman Agenda. So stay tuned for that. You'll be able to give your feedback, what you think of the book, and all that good stuff. And if you need any advice, I'm sure you would be able to get in touch with her as well. On the Faith, is there anything else you'd like to say, Faith?
Just I want people to know that the only way to get through a relationship with a narcissist is to get out of it. And the most innocent people at stake are the children. So all the more reason to. And it is our God-given birthright to be happy and live peaceful lives, and most importantly, be loved unconditionally. So we need to hold on to that and just remember that we are worth everything, and we need to love ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. Life is very, very precious, and obviously every moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely. Definitely. The way you said it is absolutely spot on there. Absolutely, Faith. First of all, obviously, thank you for coming on and telling us about what happened. And obviously, I'm glad you did come on because obviously, we do want to bring on people who've obviously had stuff where they can share the experiences, and also it helps them, but also helps other people as well. Mm-hmm. So we do want to bring them on. As much as we can. First of all, Faith, thank you very much for coming on. And I'm wishing you lots of success for your book. I'm sure it's going to do really well. And obviously, and wishing you lots of happiness in your new life you've started. I'm sure it can only get better from now on for you.
Yes, and thank you so much for allowing me to be on this platform to share my story.
No problem. It's definitely a pleasure to bring you on. Thank you very much, Faith. Thank you.